When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, Shane Told, taking you into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers. And we got a good one today, an amazing one today. One of the most well-spoken guests I've had maybe ever, Travis Mills of Girlfriends. You may know him from his former solo project called T-Mills. You might know him from hosting MTV shows like Help, I'm in a Secret Relationship and Ghosted, or maybe from his Apple One, Radio One, Music One, whatever it's called, radio show, where he does a show kind of similar to this. Regardless, I'm excited to talk to him. Girlfriends is one of the most, they're just one of the best pop punk bands, modern pop punk bands doing it right now. So catchy, hit after hit. And I'm really excited to talk to him about all of that and more. And we're going to get into that in just about a minute or so. But before we do, a couple orders of business. I want to remind you, you can always get in touch with me. You can hit me up. You can email me if you still have an email account, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. I say that because I was talking to a younger person and I was talking about email and they're like, yeah, I don't know. I just don't get it. I don't get email. I'm like, what's not to get? But you know what? I kind of do get it. Regardless, you can email me leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. And if you want to support this thing, check out the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club for as little as $6 a month, which I used to say was the price of a nice cup of coffee. Now I'm like, dude, I don't even know, man. That's like the price of most cups of coffees in major cities because I haven't raised the prices. Still $6, has been since the beginning. That's the minimum. It gets you in and that gets you all kinds of goodies and access to, you know, bonus episodes and a great community of other fans of the show, like-minded people. We all hang out on there. So yes, check it out. And it is what keeps this thing coming at you. It keeps the lights on around here. So yes, head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/all access and that will get you in. Also, if you happen to be in the Las Vegas area, August 4th, 5th, and 6th, I will be a tour guide at the Punk Rock Museum in Las Vegas, Nevada. Get your tickets now for my tours. Head over to thepunkrockmuseum.com. It's going to be a good time. I'm going to show you around all the incredible artifacts they have there from all the different eras of punk. Each decade of punk is represented. And also, you know, I'll be hanging out, telling some stories. It'll be a good time. So once again, thepunkrockmuseum.com. All right, let's get into it. And this week's episode with my guest, Travis Mills of Girlfriends.
Hello.
Yo, Travis. Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Thanks for hopping on with me. You are a busy-ass dude, man.
Dude, well, I appreciate you having me, man.
Of course. Well, congrats on the new EP from Girlfriends. all the touring you've been doing, all the success, incredible songs, and all this stuff in your personal life, like just all this stuff you're doing is wild. I kind of don't even know where to start, but I'll begin with, where are you right now and what are you doing?
I'm currently at home in Los Angeles, California. Mm-hmm. I am in my studio. I just moved. I moved like literally a week before we left on the Avril Lavigne tour. Mm-hmm. So I got back from the Used and the Pierce tour, 5 days ago. And so I've slowly but surely been unpacking and actually feeling like a human in my house again.
Yeah, I can relate. I just did that myself too. So it's hard between touring and in between other shit. And it's like, you just feel like you're all over the place.
Yeah, man. And then coming home and like seeing like, you know, boxes and stuff like that. So the last like 5 days that I've been home, I've actually just kind of been working on getting my shit together. Cause I've been traveling so much. And yeah, man, I have a little like home studio that, I've been working on and putting together. So I'm in my studio right now and just kind of looking at everything.
That's great, man. Well, that rules. I saw that you had went on tour with Avril Lavigne over in Europe and the UK. My band actually toured with Avril Lavigne about a decade ago. How was that?
Absolutely insane, man. I mean, you know, as you've done it, so you understand, but it's like, mm-hmm. Definitely a dream come true, especially for a new band like us. You know, the fact that we got an opportunity like that, and you know, she was so accommodating and welcoming. It was just, man, it was like hard to believe every single night, you know, playing arenas in Europe and like,
yeah,
just the fact of like, you know, playing to 15,000 people every night is one thing, but then waking up in a different country every single day and kind of getting to put your tourist hat on as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
and go experience, you know, all of these different cultures, these languages, you know, incredible food, and then the reward and the rush of getting on stage every single night and performing. It's like, dude, how do you top that?
Right. Well, maybe you go on tour in the US with Pierce the Veil and the Used. I mean, that might top it.
That would do the trick.
That's amazing, man. Well, I mean, obviously Avril Lavigne is, I don't know how much things have changed in the last 10, 15 years since we've toured with her. We also toured with her in Japan. So that's just a whole other layer of weirdness.
I bet that was nuts.
And awesomeness. Oh, it was great. We played the Tokyo Dome, dude. Like it was wild.
That's
But like when we found that it was just the young, like very young fans, young impressionable fans, probably a much different audience than you were facing with, you know, the Used and Pierce opening for them. But that's probably really good for your band, right? To find those younger people that are just ready to absorb kind of whatever you put in front of them. I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the cool thing about, you know, the Europe tour, you would be surprised actually. It wasn't just young fans, right? These were like people who grew up listening to Avril. And dude, sometimes you forget how long and impactful of a career she's had until, you know, you're hearing the set every single night and it's hit after hit after hit from these different, you know, eras and these different years, you know? So I'd say like the crowd was pretty eclectic, man. It was young, you know, young kids. It was, you know, people my age, like late 20s, 30s, who grew up, you know, watching TRL and MTV with Skater Boy back in the day. But I think that these were just, and I think Europe in general, people who just really appreciate and love music. The language barrier did prove, you know, to be, I don't want to say challenging, but like, you know, in between songs, right? It's like, you're not going to have this, you know, crazy dialogue, you know, and I think we really got to let the music speak for itself. And I think that's the beauty about, you know, doing what we do is like, you can go to all these places who don't necessarily speak the same language, but if it's a good song, they're going to connect and they're going to love it. And that's exactly what happened on that tour. And you know, for our first time to be in Europe ever, to be on a stage like that, in a setting like that, in front of all those people, it was just, I mean, I've said it before, but yeah, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, man. Well, talking about songs and songwriting, I think that that to me, when I first heard your band, I don't know if it was a few years ago, I think when you put out your first album, right away, what struck me was just the songwriting is just on another level in the genre. You know, both the melodies, the catchiness of the songs coupled with the lyrics and, you know, a lot of the I know that Nick plays drums on this stuff. He's like, what a drummer too. You know, it's just really, really great all around. And I think that, you know, whether you're playing in front of someone that's just getting into, let's just call it punk rock, just for, you know, easy terminology, or whether it's somebody that, you know, grew up with Skater Boy and then evolved to other music and hears you for the first time, I think like it all comes back to the song. And that is something that it feels like you work extremely hard on every single track to just perfect that. Cause it is like, it's kind of a masterclass in catchiness.
Oh man. Thank you so much, dude. That's such a compliment. I feel like,
well, I mean it, you know?
No, especially coming from you, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I think that is something that I've always been the music fan. Me and Nick talk about this all the time, but I've always been the music fan who I listen to lyric and melody when I listen to a song. Mm-hmm. Like obviously what's going on in the background with all of the instruments, you know, musically is great and I can appreciate it, but that is not where my ear is trained to go to. And Nick
right.
is the exact opposite. He can tell you the fill, he can tell you the guitar lead and like mimic it, you know. My brain just doesn't work like that. I've always just been hyper obsessed with lyric and melody. So I think my priority always is, what am I going to say? How am I going to say it? And how is it going to sound when I say it? And I think, you know, that's something that we've definitely kind of each taken on that role in our band where like Nick, I'm like, you handle, you know, the musicality of everything and either I'll write around what you're making or let's, you know, make something around this concept and this melody that I have in my notes or in my head.
Right.
and
yeah.
And yeah, man, like it's just kind of this perfect yin and yang where, you know, we don't really have to force anything. Nick's not trying to like step in and do something here. I'm not trying to be like, no, the solo needs to be like this. But at the same time, I always appreciate the opinion and, you know, we definitely take what each other says, you know, with a lot of kind of respect and admiration. So I think, you know, being in the studio is so productive because it's just us two, which was kind of what we wanted to do from the very beginning.
Right.
And sometimes when you have too many cooks in the kitchen, it can get kind of muddy and, yeah. You know, you don't really like, you know, I mean, we've all been in bands.
Yeah. You've got five guys in a band, you got five opinions, and then it's like five different ideas you have to try. And, you know, and usually like, I mean, not every idea is the best idea. Let's just put it that way.
Correct. and by the way, like, you know, I have plenty of bad ideas. And I think a lot of times you got to write the bad songs to get to the good ones, you know?
Yeah.
But I think the beauty about Girlfriends is this isn't our first band. You know, we have been in music since we were teenagers. And, you know, I've had a lot of experience writing songs. And I think what we are able to do here is like to walk into a room and be pretty precise at like what we want to do and how we want to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. It's incredibly simple that what you say is like, well, I listen to the vocals and the melody and I just try to like do that. And it's like, that is what everyone that listens to music listens to, right? I mean, maybe not if you're listening to like prog metal or like whatever, you're a nerd or you're a musician, but I'm just talking about the average person that throws on their Spotify, you know, or Apple Music, I should shout out, you know, like they listen to that. So why do so many bands not just focus on that? You know, lyrics and melody. It's like, it's so simple and so obvious, yet it's amazing how many bands overthink that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of, you'd be surprised because we were literally having this debate on our bus like 2 weeks ago. We had like an off day and we're all just kind of listening to records in the front lounge. And I told everyone, you know, me and Nick were kind of going back and I'm like, they were talking about some part of a song. Like, do you remember that guitar part? And I'm like, dude, you could play me like 10 different guitar parts and I wouldn't be able to discern like one from the other. I mean, of course the obvious, like, you know, a lead guitar from All the Small Things or What's My Age Again, or, you know, like,
sure.
Those are very, I think one thing that Blink does really well is the the musicality is a vocal in itself, right? Like Tom's guitars, Mark's bass lines, like those are, it's a lead vocal within right. itself, right. you know? And I think that's one thing that made Blink, like that's why they were my favorite band when I was growing up, because it was the first band where like the lyrics were insanely catchy. What they were saying really resonated with me as a teenager and a kid. And that it was music that I could actually follow and treat as it was like it was coming out of somebody's mouth. But you know, we were going around the bus and people were like, no, dude, I listen to the guitar. Like, oh dude, I listen to the drum. This snare sound from this record is the best snare I've ever heard.
Right.
And I don't know. I just don't get too into the weeds with that stuff.
that's a great way to put it, into the weeds.
But you know, I think that's why producers exist, you know, and why like incredible finishers and mixers and, you know, engineers and, you know, people who master records, like that's why, because I can't do that. That's not like what my ear's trained to do.
Yeah. But you know, your ear is trained probably to hear a hit though and hear like, okay, I'm writing this. This is good. This is bad. A lot of musicians struggle with that. They'll write a melody, they'll write a song, and they won't even know which part of it is the catchy part, you know, like they're trying to make it good, but it's not, it's so hard to kind of be the person outside looking in when you're the writer. And I feel like both you and Nick must have that skill to know what, oh, this is catchy, this is good, because you just do it over and over again.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, dude, I don't have it all figured out either, you know, and I think sometimes what you can suffer from is trying to make something too catchy to where it loses kind of any character.
Right. Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like, it just becomes, you try to make something like too accessible to where it just like doesn't become relatable anymore because it's just vague and kind of ambiguous. And I've definitely struggled with that as well. Music's so crazy, man, because we're all trying to essentially capture lightning in a bottle, you know, and you have mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. this finite amount of time in a room with other people where you're throwing ideas at a wall and you're trying to see, you know, what's going to be the best one to impact a ton of people. And it's definitely a trip when you kind of sit back and think about it. And I think the journey that I'm on right now as a songwriter is like, how do I write the most authentic to me?
Right.
And, you know, rather than being like this, oh, a lot of people will love this, right? It's like, well, what do I want to hear? What's the song that I needed to hear when I was 14?
It's so true, dude. And I've found that too as a writer myself. When I first started Silverstein, I mean, it was a side project. I didn't have like fame starting out or anything like that. I just was writing songs in my bedroom and I never expected any of these lyrics to be heard really, you know, maybe on a shitty demo, but like half of them I'm screaming, you know? And it was like, I can just say what I want to say. I can be vulnerable. I can just do what I want. Cause I wasn't really worried about people analyzing them, you know, cause I didn't really want people to, you know, cause these are my like deepest, darkest thoughts.
Yeah.
And then finally when the first album comes out and I just used the lyrics, so I didn't want to write new ones, the ones that I was the most, you know, in my own head on and the most personal were the ones that were also the most popular, the most relatable, because so many of us, whether you grow up in Toronto, Canada, or you grow up in Riverside, California, we go through the same shit. You know, especially in our adolescence.
100%, dude. I mean, you know, hearing what you just said, like that reminds me of Pierce the Veil, you know? It's like, how many years were these dudes writing music that was, I don't want to say kind of pigeonholed into a specific scene, but you know, essentially right? Like, yeah. And I would hear Vic, I would get to watch their set every single night, you know, these last few weeks. And it like brought a tear to my eye. Cause he's like, you know, we've been a band for so long. We've never been on the radio. We were always told we would never be on the radio because our songs are too long. Our lyrics are too weird. There's no kind of, you know, magic pop hit formula to this. But
yeah,
the thing that Pierce has is that they're incredibly unique. And the kids that are going to these shows and that resonate with these songs, like, this is their band. These are their songs. And 100%. You see that kind of intensity and that ferociousness, you know, with their fans, to where like they own every single word. You know, it might not be perfectly written, you know, to like the Max Martins and Dr. Lukes of the world, but there's yeah. something special there because totally, it man. Is so, because it is, you know, it's off the beaten path. And I think that's one thing that I really took away from watching these dudes every night. I mean, incredible musicians, amazing humans, and they've really done it their own way and haven't really compromised for anyone. And that's super fucking inspiring. It's
absolute truth. Well, you know, from what you've came from, I mean, you're 34 years old. I just looked it up. You know, basically half your life, you've been kind of in the spotlight, you know, starting out kind of, taking, you know, the early social media platforms and kind of embracing it and gaining a following. And then that leading to, you know, a major label deal with Columbia and, you know, really playing that game as a hip hop artist. And then kind of, you know, I don't know, navigating all those waters, probably a lot of them very strange situations and strange places to kind of find yourself now speaking with me. Probably, you know, honestly, probably feeling better about your career than you ever have, and just doing something that seems way more real, you know, to you. Not to say it wasn't real in the beginning, but like when you're a kid, you know, and you're that young, it must just have been so difficult to kind of know just what to do and who to believe and who to really take advice from.
Dude, it was nuts. I mean, look, like I came from this scene, you know, like I started out in pop punk bands. I was in a death metal band. I played backyard shows, and I got a laptop, a MacBook when I was 17. And all of the guys in my band were older than me and they all had DUIs. Couldn't really tour, right? I was the 16-year-old kid who was singing in a pop punk band who couldn't tour because everyone in my band, like, couldn't really drive. So like I was driving the van, you know, and, and everyone wanted to go party and, you know, like it wasn't the same priority as it was for me. And so when I got my MacBook, I was like, holy shit, you know, and I started ripping like instrumentals, from YouTube and just online. And, you know, I learned how to work GarageBand and I didn't even have a microphone. And I just started posting these like kind of funny, weird freestyles that I was doing, you know, and it was very much still like scene adjacent, right. You know, like my right. first tour with my solo project was, you know, I sold t-shirts on Warped Tour in 2009. So I could get a bunk spot on a band's bus and play in a tent. And then eventually, you know, after kind of more, I was playing to like 30 kids, but I got to meet a lot of these kids that were like following me on the internet. And then that turned into a real thing. And then I got to like actually go and, you know, play main stage in 2012, you know, and have my own tour bus and stuff like that. And yeah, I had a major record deal. And I think it was supposed to be everything that I had ever wanted, because coming from, you know, a town like Riverside, California, it's like you don't really get record deals from there. That shit doesn't really happen. It's kind of something that happens in movies. But when it all happened to me, I was like kind of the most depressed and I guess angry and insecure I'd ever been. I just like, it was so weird because it was something that I'd wanted my whole life. And then I got it and it didn't fix everything.
Right.
You know? And I think, you know, during that time period of my life, the music didn't come first. I think I was really focused on the lifestyle rather than, you know, the craft. And I think the beautiful thing about Girlfriends is, one, I feel like I have a second chance, you know, to do everything that I've wanted to do the right way. And number two, the music comes first in everything that we do. And I think that's why we're, you know, having these insane opportunities so early on, is because, you know, it's like we put everything into the music and into the live show. And, you know, I could give, I don't know, a million reasons on why I think, you know, things are happening, but I really do think it's because of all the time that we've kind of invested early on into making this, you know, what it is. But yeah, man, it's nuts. And, you know, I know a lot of people who aren't really familiar with the journey, they're like, oh, it's crazy. You went from this genre and now you're in this. And it's like, no, dude, I've been doing this from the very beginning. I'm like an encyclopedia of of emo and punk and just the scene that I came from. And it was always kind of adjacent to that. But yeah, man, it's like I got to take all of my mistakes and my fuck ups and I get to use it to, you know, kind of steer the ship
totally
this time around. And I'm really grateful for that.
Well, totally. And I mean, you must have learned so much about, you know, shit, just let's just call it the industry, right? From working with these major labels and these collaborations, you know, but the way, like, there's a huge difference between the way that things are done in the mainstream rap world and how they're done in the warped adjacent scene, you know, and here you are kind of marrying them together in a way. I mean, that must be kind of maybe fun to navigate or sometimes just a little frustrating when you're starting to, girlfriends are starting to get bigger and bigger. And it's just probably different than when you were kind of on the way up with, you know, under T-Mills and all that.
Yeah, I mean, dude, this is definitely the most fun I've ever had. I mean, like the first day that we were out on the Pierce tour, I haven't seen those dudes since 2012. Like Warped Tour, I did Warped Tour. Like we did Warped Tour together.
Yeah,
you know, like I'd see Jaime every single day, and we'd go and hang out. But it was under, you know, my solo project, and so seeing them again in this way was so cool. And I think back then, yeah, I was like kind of like caught in between these two worlds. Cause like, this was the scene that I came from. But then when I signed this major label deal, you know, I was touring with, you know, Wiz Khalifa and these, I was going and playing these radio shows with these hip hop and R&B artists, which was amazing. I've always kind of felt like, you know, like that kid at school who's just cool with everyone. Yeah, he's friends with like the nerds, he's friends with the jocks, the stoners, the kind of, you know,
that was me in high school.
Like the metalheads. Yeah. Dude, that's me. That's been me too, man. And I think I've been able to really like create this life for myself. I think not just in music, but just in entertainment where, you know, I can go to a rap show and hang out, you know, with these dudes who I'm friends with, who I have on my Apple Music show. But then I can go to, you know, to a Pierce the Veil concert and know everyone backstage. And then I can go to, you know, a death metal concert. And we just played a So What Music Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, hanging out with like the Upon a Burning Body dudes. Like, so it's like, it's this really cool life that I think, you know, I've created where I can kind of hang out in all these different circles. And it's, dude, at the end of the day, we're all people who love music. We love art. We're all inspired by different things. And, you know, we don't need to be pigeonholed into like genre or, you know, this one thing that we do, because I think that's where inspiration comes from. You know, it's like, I can get inspired by watching an athlete, you know, like a documentary on an athlete and seeing them overcome something or you know, a sushi chef or, you know, I mean, anything, dude, you never know like where it's going to come from. And I think, yeah, just being open to it is the beauty.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, that speaks to your character too, you know, just as being a good dude, you know, somebody that's like been through all this and you've come out and, you know, you still, everyone's cool with you. And that must just feel great too, you know, that you're doing all this stuff and you're, you know, not, and you mentioned entertainment, you know, all the other things you have going on, the Travis Mills show on Apple Music, you have, your MTV shows that you're hosting, Help I'm in a Secret Relationship. That shit's pretty wild. You know, all that too is all kind of coming to fruition, which must take up a lot of time, but also probably pretty rewarding as well.
It is, man. Yeah. I think I'm really good at, I have ADHD. It's something I talk about a lot and I feel like it's my superpower because I feel like if I didn't have it, I wouldn't be able to do everything that I do. And it's weird how I can kind of you know, bounce from one thing to another, you know, within an hour, mm-hmm. you know, every single day, and kind of not miss a beat. And yeah, I've been really fortunate to have incredible partnerships. That what's crazy is that everything in my life comes from music, you know, like
yeah.
my relationship with MTV started, you know, 11 or 12 years ago from when I was a solo artist. And my relationship with Apple Music started when Zane Lowe was playing my records when he had a show on BBC right. Radio 1.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's crazy how you wake up one day and you just see like where you're at and where it all started. And I think all these other opportunities that came to me really happened from me abandoning my ego. You know, I feel like for so long, I wanted the world to see me as this successful artist, nothing else. He's a, you know, rock star artist. He's killing it. He's, you know, the biggest thing in the world. And, you know, I mean, like any musician knows, your career is going to have kind of ups and downs and peaks and valleys. And I think in 2015, 2016, after being through the major label system and, mm-hmm. like I said, not putting an emphasis on the music and kind of getting caught up in the lifestyle, I really experienced all of that for the first time. You know, and I had to do a lot of soul searching. And when I kind of let go of my ego and was like, you know what? I'm going to say yes to opportunities that were kind of presenting themselves. And I have this opportunity to, you know, go and talk about music with other artists and have this cool show with Apple. I'm going to do that. And, you know, that was something that I really struggled with, man, because it was like, I want people to see me as an artist. And now I'm going to have artists on here to talk about their music. Like, what does that make me look like? I failed. And like, I'm just this dude who's like, you know what I mean? Like I had a...
Oh, interesting. I would have looked at it as the opposite, but that's interesting.
And you know what? It's crazy when you have perspective and time to really look back because it is that. It is the opposite. But when you're so stuck in, you know, your head and your ego is kind of calling the shots, you block your blessings. You know, and so I really had to kind of let all that go. And when I opened myself up to the world, incredible things started happening. And that's exactly kind of where I find myself today. And it's awesome, man. The fact that I can have people come on my Apple Music show, I'm friends with, I want to say like 90% yeah. of the artists that come on my show, I'm friends with in some capacity, either from touring, from, you know, seeing at shows, being in the same kind of studios or circles. It's incredible. I get to have a unique conversation, very much like yourself, man. I mean, yeah. dude, this convo is yeah. so well thought out. And like your questions are incredible because you are a musician and you've done this, right? So
right.
it's not the same three fucking questions that, you know, some dude who's never stepped foot on stage is asking us, you know?
Totally.
And yeah, man, it's a beautiful thing. And with the MTV show, it's like, dude, I wear a girlfriend shirt or hoodie on the show. And, you know, we have people come to the concerts all the time. It's like, yeah, I was watching your show. I saw you wearing the hoodie. So I went and checked out your band and I love it. So then we bought tickets and now we're here. It's like, it's insane.
Yeah. Oh man, any little thing you can do, you know, it's amazing, you know, how you have to kind of keep like, it's almost like handing out CD samplers at Warped Tour. You know, you got to think of everything you do like that. You know, all it takes is one person to really embrace it and tell a few other people. And, you know, it really does work that way. The word of mouth is everything in music.
It's crazy. Yeah. And, you know, if you're a good person and you don't treat people awful, that goes a long way too, right?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely, dude. Well, back to girlfriends. I have some more things I want to ask you about that. You know, I think the main thing is just how great you sound vocally on this as well. And this is a singing podcast, so we need to talk about that a little bit. I think, you know, in 2020, when that album dropped, a lot of people were surprised how good you are in this genre because a lot of people hadn't heard that from you. You know, I know you'd done it, but a lot of people hadn't heard it before. Was it different kind of going into this at age, let's say age 30 and being like, okay, I'm going to do this now again, kind of similar to what I was doing in my teenage years, but now on just a bigger stage, bigger level, you know, different, better studios, you know, all that. And then how was it when you kind of started working on it really well and hearing your voice back and being like, oh man, like there's something here.
Yeah. I mean, I think I think the part where I felt vulnerable the most was what I was actually singing about, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't mm-hmm. my voice, like, because, you know, I took a hiatus in 2016, 2017 from releasing kind of any music, but all of that time I was actually writing and producing for other artists who were having a lot of success. And I was, you know, cutting reference vocals
and
recording whole songs and kind of pitching them out. And then those artists would go get record deals. And so, you know, I was always kind of comfortable singing. I did a lot of that on my old music. It was just, I guess, to a kind of beat of a different drum, no pun intended.
It does feel different, right? Because that's the thing. And before I was going to ask you this question, I was like, I remember it being more like rap, but then I listened to it today and I was like, actually, it's very, very toneful, like the old stuff.
Yeah, there was like a lot of pop records that, you know, I kind of experimented with as well. I don't know. I mean, I love that people are surprised. It's like, and I think the biggest compliment ever too is live, right? Like when people come up to us after and they're like, dude, you sound just like the record. Or better, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of like where, and especially when it comes from other musicians, you know, like that's kind of the cherry on top where it's like, hell yeah.
Well, yeah, because it's not fucking easy. All the things you got to go through on the road, you know, sleeping on the bus to travel, just all these shows in a row, you know, not being able to hear yourself properly. Who fucking knows it's going to be something every day. You're never 100% on tour, I would say. Never 100%.
No, there's always something that gets thrown into the mix or, you know, some like little gremlin that wants to come and screw up, you know, something. But it's like, you know, how do you handle those things in real time, mm-hmm. right? When you're mm-hmm. on stage in front of hundreds or thousands of people. And I think that's, once again, kind of back to the blessing of like, Nick and I, we have been doing this for a while. It's like we can take those things pretty gracefully and take it on the chin and to where something catastrophic could be going on, but watching the show, you wouldn't really know.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
You know, and I think a lot of like new bands or like artists who just haven't had that kind of that time yet, it could, you know, it would derail. I mean, we've played those shows. I've seen it happen to people, you know, where they're just on stage kind of stuttering for 5 minutes, not really knowing what's going on. And it just kind of kills everything.
Totally.
Yeah, man. But, you know, I think even, you know, for this kind of next era of Girlfriends that we're about to start getting into, it's like, yeah, I mean, I'm pushing myself. Like I've never taken voice lessons, really. Like I'm not a classically trained singer. I'm not. You know, I don't know. I think I kind of just come from like the garage band, you know, let's set some shit up in a garage and just jam kind of mentality.
Yeah.
So, but it's like, you know, how do I push myself to become better? Like I want to, you know, what do vocal lessons sound like? Like if I actually had, you know, technique or, you know, like how do I just kind of step everything up? And I think that's kind of the point that I'm at now. It's like, I just want to become the very best at what I'm capable of. And yeah, what does that look like for me?
Well, that rules, man. That rules. So the Over My Dead Body EP is out now. It's been out for not too long, actually. And 5 songs. Now I heard for your last record, you wrote 60 songs.
Something.
And now you're releasing an EP with 5 songs, which makes me, I have so many questions. The first one is, how many songs did you write for this? Why didn't you release a full length? Or was this just like are these leftover songs? Like what is this exactly?
Not leftover songs. All these 5 are all brand new songs. I think we wrote 7 songs total. So I think the cool thing about this EP is that it was very intentional. You know, we didn't really even start we didn't really take an idea, you know, from, you know, kind of an idea to even like a demo,
right?
Unless we were really about it. So
yeah.
I think, yeah, there was seven ideas and 5 of them are out into the world. And so, you know, with album 2, we took like a year and a half and I mean, we wrote a ton of songs and I mean, you know, when you just kind of go through the weeds like that, you kind of lose the essence of what you're even trying to do in the first place. And so with this EP, it's like we wanted to just make something. And we didn't even know we were making an EP, dude. We went in the studio with Andrew Goldstein. Mm-hmm. We wrote a song. The first song we wrote was a song called Talk, which kicks off the EP.
Yeah.
We loved it. So we were like, let's do another one. That was Over My Dead Body. We loved it. So we were like, okay, cool. Let's just keep doing songs. And before you know it, we're like, yo, we have, you know, 5 songs here. We could put out an EP and kind of keep fans fed. I think, you know, for such a young band, we've put out so much music already.
Yeah, it's true.
And so it's like, you know, we don't want to rush our third album. And you know, that's like kind of what we're starting to wrap our heads around now is what do we want this next kind of era to sound like? What do we want it to look like? What do we want it to feel like? And how do we, you know, transcend kind of what we've been doing, but also maintain the magic of what we started in the first place. So I'm excited, man. I think the EP is like some of the best songs that we've written. Like Plastic,
straight up, totally.
As a songwriter, is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
Just because of, I just feel like it's a step above anything that we've done. You know, a song like Life's a Britney, I feel like I broke a lot of rules, and working with someone like Andrew Goldstein kind of really pushed for that, which was a beautiful thing to kind of get me out of my own head, because it was something that I just said in conversation. You know, when you're in a room writing and you're like, it's like this, but it's not this. I want to say this, but not this. And he kind of turned around and was like, why can't you just say that? And I'm like, it's too easy. And he's like, what's wrong with easy? You know?
Yeah, I know. And, man.
And so that song definitely has like a special place. And it's like, dude, I think it's the essence of our band, right? Like it's cheeky. It's kind of funny. It's heartfelt. Like it's kind of what made me fall in love with, you know, the Blinks of the world when I was younger too. Has some attitude. I feel like this EP is just like injected with, you know, kind of heartbreak anthems and
yeah,
just attitude and like kind of angst. And I love that.
Yeah. Well, you find a great way of kind of, again, like sort of just doing things in a different way lyrically. You know, like you're able to be emotional and kind of put your heart on your sleeve, but not do it in like this traditional rock, ambiguous, like super poetic way. Like you're able to drop thing like a term like Life's a Britney, you know, and use like pop culture references way more than like Blink 182 ever did. You know, almost like a hip hop thing that you do. And that's, to me, that's like, that gives it kind of a realness too. And maybe makes it more relatable than a lot of other pop punk bands where it's like, I think I know what the song's about. You're pretty obvious.
Yeah. The EP, this EP for sure is pretty direct. You know, there's not a lot of kind of metaphors and, you know, we're not dancing around anything, which is why I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
And you know, why these 5 songs are really special. And yeah, man, it was weird because, yeah, we had them and I found myself listening to it more once it came out than like right before.
Yeah.
I like fell in love with these songs all over again once everyone else could hear them, you know?
Yeah. Isn't that a cool feeling? It's like, it's sometimes you work on these songs and like, cause you know, there's different versions of them and there's different songs. And then it's like, it isn't until it's on Apple Music, you know, in order with the artwork, you know, or you have a vinyl or whatever, that it's like, oh shit, this is like the real one that people are hearing that now I get to hear. Cause like sometimes in my mind, and I'm sure this happens to you, I'll listen to a released song that I did. And I'll be like, oh shit, yeah, that was like the version we decided, like the one where we changed the bridge. Like sometimes in your head, it's like the old version.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. I remember, yeah, when it came out, I was like traveling. I forget where I was, but I was shooting my MTV show and I was in the hotel and I just kind of like put it on and was listening to it. And yeah, man, I like listened to the EP like 3 times, like in a row, just like back to back to back. And I was like, holy shit, like this is fucking awesome, you know?
Absolutely.
I also think like, you know, right before something comes out, I don't know about if it's like this for you, but I get kind of caught up in like the
right
the business aspect of it, right? Like, how is this going to perform? Are people going to like this as much as the old stuff? Like, you know, is it going to stream well? And so that can kind of take the fun out of it. And I think
totally,
you know, getting to listen to the EP with fresh ears and kind of no expectations, it was like a beautiful thing.
Well, hey, your song Plastic, the one that you talked about, the last track on the EP, that's your number one song on Spotify right now. And that was
crazy. That was not, I didn't even
single,
know that.
Not a single. So you not know things are picking up. People are finding out about this this shit. So there you go, man. Well, dude, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I know you've got so much going on in your life, and you're working on your new place and all that. What else to tell the people before I let you go?
Girlfriends is the best band in the world.
You heard it here first.
Thank you. Dude, thank you so much for having me on, man, and having an incredible conversation. This is definitely like one of my favorite ones that I've gotten to do. And so I really appreciate you thinking of me, and you know, it's fucking awesome to talk to you.
Thank you, man.
And very kind things that you said about my band. And yeah, man, I really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, man, I'm excited. I mean, you know, you've said a little bit that, you know, okay, this EP is, you don't want to rush your third album, you know, you're kind of holding out a little bit, but can we expect something maybe, you know, next year? Maybe.
Oh, you can expect a lot, man. You can expect a lot and some announcements that are going to be happening soon, where we're kind of assembling the emo Avengers.
Oh,
I can't talk about it yet, but there's just so much going on right now. It's fucking, life is good. It's exciting. And it's a great time to be a Girlfriends fan.
I love it, man. Well, I can't wait to see what's next. I know a lot of people are right there with me. Congrats on the EP, all the great touring that you just did. And yeah, man, sky's the limit. So thanks for taking the time.
Dude, I really appreciate you. Thank you so much, brother.
I will play a tune for the people, and we got to play Plastic. Here it is. Girlfriends.
Boom.
Boom. On Lead Singer Syndrome.
I'm about a goodbyes. Is it a good time to tell you I miss the days when you were all mine? Stay awake all night, tequila sunrise, looking right at me, seeing through bloodshot eyes. I'll show you where it all went wrong, cause I already know. I was busy holding on while you were letting go. Never got a sorry from you, unpredictable. And even though it's sad but true, maybe we were plastic, we were pretend, like romantic movies that we watched just to make you happy. The love song that I wrote to make you stop screaming when you got mad at me. I'm a little bit hurt, but you're a little bit worse. Plastic, we were pretend, and it's tragic. No matter what, I'll never make you happy. We got too many issues for us to get through. Maybe I have a chance, but it's not with you. Not enough tissues for when I miss you. Done with I'm ready for good news. I'll show you where it all went wrong, cause I already know. I was busy holding on while you were letting go. Never got a sorry from you, unpredictable. And even though it's sad but true, maybe we were plastic, we were pretend, like romantic movies that we watched just to make you happy. Made up like the love song that I wrote to make you stop screaming when you got mad. Maybe we were plastic, we were pretend, like romantic movies that we watched just to make you happy. Made up like the love song that I wrote to make you stop screaming when you got mad at me. I'm a little bit hurt, but you're a little bit worse. Plastic, we were pretend, and it's tragic. No matter what, I'll never make you happy.
So there is new music from Girlfriends and Plastic, and just a masterclass in catchiness with this band every single time. I want to thank Travis and his whole team for finding the time for him to speak with me. Such a busy guy. He's doing all this stuff, whether it's Girlfriends, whether it's MTV shows, whether it's hosting radio show on Apple Music. It's bonkers. So all the best to them, their whole camp. And we're all looking forward to some new Girlfriends music. Thank you for listening to this, everybody. And go back and listen to the other 300 and something episodes if you're still driving or you just want more. Tell a friend, tell a loved one. It means everything. Thanks so much. See you next time. Peace and love.